And one of my teachers says, always work for, never work against. Interesting idea. Always work for, never work against. Because there's a lot of stuff to work against. You know, there's a lot of, like, corruption in the world, and there's a lot of negativity in the world to work against. But what would it be if we instead focused our energies on finding what's good and beautiful in the world and increasing that as opposed to fighting against? It's just a slightly different shift of perception. So for the next 45 minutes, I want you just to consider just saying yes. Okay, I'm not going to ask you to do anything crazy or something. You're not going to get into some psychological, like, past life regression. Just want, it's just a gentle attitude of the heart, just yes. And if you're like me, you'll right now, you might even be like, no. Right? There's just a, you just have a natural tendency to be like, no, you know, not right now. Or like I do, it's just this kind of like, yeah, maybe later I'll join the whole yes party, but not right now. So just gently, subtly, in your heart, try to just shift for 45 minutes as an experiment. Just to an attitude of yes, and an attitude of a heart with gratitude. Just a gentle overflowing of yes. So tonight's a little hodgepodge. I want to talk about a couple different things, and I don't know if they'll connect at all, but we'll see. I was thinking about, I came across a couple of quotes. And when you think about the spiritual life, if somebody says, I'm on a spiritual journey, What just everybody throw out, like, one word that comes to your mind?
Searching.
Searching. What else?
Clarity.
Clarity, yeah.
Pretentious.
Yeah.
Peaceful.
Yeah, peaceful. I mean, that's one of the first things, like, that occurs to me, like, oh, it's a peaceful life, you know? Those of you that are, you know, as you enter the spiritual life, you realize that, in fact, it's anything but peaceful. You know, and I want to read you a couple quotes. The first one is from, many of you know, Father Thomas Keating, a great Christian meditation teacher and master. He says, the spiritual journey is not a career or a success story. It is a series of humiliations. Okay. He says, it is a series of humiliations of the false self that becomes more and more profound. When have you been humiliated from your false self? What does that mean? A series of humiliations of your false self.
Trying too hard?
Trying too hard, yeah. I mean, I can think of when I was, I don't know how old, like 14 or something, trying to smoke. I couldn't inhale so well. I don't know what it is with cigarettes. It's like, it's burning, you know? So anyway, there's this cute girl, and I'm trying to, like, look cool. And I'm smoking, right? And I have an intense coughing fit. And it obviously is not impressing this girl. So that is a humiliation of the false self. You see what I mean? There's some humiliation of somebody that I'm not. And that's a gross example. And we can all find examples of that from our teenage years. But you can find more subtle examples in our day-to-day lives. Like little ways where our inauthenticity is exposed. You know, our inauthenticity is exposed. And nobody wants their inauthenticity exposed. You know what I mean? Nobody wants that. So, and then this is how Adi Ashanti says it. He says, truth is a destructive force. Truth is a destructive force. It destroys, right? Truth destroys all your illusions. So again, and Adi Ashanti's famous for saying, you know, that when you enter the spiritual life, what you're asking for is not peace, but to have all of your illusions ripped out from your heart. And that's what, you know, and that's in a sense is what the spiritual life is. The spiritual life is not meditative music and like orchids, right? Although those are beautiful things and, you know, like fountains and your like foyer and, you know, it's, that is a, that is like what Trungpa calls spiritual materialism, right? That's a subculture that's built up around a pseudo-spiritual life. Not meaning that we all shouldn't have fountains in our house. because the sound of fountains is relaxing. Not meaning that we all shouldn't listen to, like, you know, meditation music or like New Age music, because it's relaxing, it's peaceful. But that's not what's meant by the spiritual life, right? And so the question that comes, the question we're faced with is, do we want to enter a spiritual life? And the great Tibetan master Trungpa says, probably not. Like, but it's probably better just to not enter the spiritual path at all. And in fact, when students used to come to him, he would say, if I were you, I would turn around and run, you know, because it's going to be hell. So then the interest, and so just imagine, everybody stay in your yes body, okay? And if you come into your no body, just shake it off for a minute, just come back into the yes body. You can take up the no body again when we leave. So imagine then the spiritual life is hell. Imagine what the proposition here is, there's an invitation being held out to you to go deeper in your life, to go deeper into your spiritual life. And that invitation is to an invitation to go into high, high levels of discomfort. Okay? Why the hell would you ever want to do that? Why would you ever want to do that?
To see the truth.
To see the truth, okay. But, I mean, I don't see the truth right now, and I'm somewhat content. There's like some good movies. I heard there's a new good movie. I don't want to see it. I haven't eaten yet today, so I'm terribly excited to eat after class. You know, like, it's interesting enough. But he says to see the truth. Why the hell would you ever want to go through voluntary hell?
Because you learn and grow and come out better on the other side.
All right. But why would you ever have an impetus to want to learn and grow?
Because you're a very curious person.
All right, so it could be curiosity. And what's gonna, as soon as the hell really kicks in, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, for example, you might be curious what it's like to be bitten by fire ants. You know, so you put your hand there, and this actually happened one time. You put your hand there, and you're curious what that pain is like, and all of a sudden you know that pain, and the curiosity is over. You see what I mean? So yeah.
There's a spiritual instinct, like beyond the human instinct.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. So she says there's a spiritual instinct. We have some kind of, we're being drawn, right? St. Teresa of Avila, right? She talks about it, the interior castle. She says in the center of the castle, there's this flautist, right? There's a flute being played. And that flute is so alluring to us that it just draws us in. Now, on the outer layers of the castle are filled with scorpions and demons and things like that. But the intensity of the beauty of that music pulls us through those outer rings of the castle. So I think that's one beautiful way to think about it, is that there we have some kind of allure. Yeah, were you going to say something about
it? Just that it's ultimately nutritive.
Yeah, so as you go further, you feel more fed.
Yes.
Yeah. And then it's not so hard to want to go into the spiritual life. I mean, you all are here for a reason, right? Who would come for 45 minutes to like listen to someone talk about spiritual life and meditate? You're here for a reason, right? And in the Tibetan tradition, they call it renunciation. We've all had some quality of renunciation, meaning we're no longer interested in the normal ways that society like puts you into the game, you know? We have some longing for something deeper. And there's a lot of ways to talk about it, and they're all accurate, you know, depending on where we're from. But it's somehow, some kind of longing is in your heart. And that can come about a lot of different ways. One way it can come about is feeling the world crumble a little bit, right? Through trauma. One way it could come about is through curiosity, through some deep interest in all aspects of life, right? But one way it can come about is through some kind of trauma. And those of you that know me know that one of my first deep spiritual awakenings was seeing my father pick his nose. Because I had been told not to pick my nose, you know? And then all of a sudden I walk into the living room with the green shag carpet and there's my dad picking his nose. And I have this strong feeling of like, holy shit, I'm in it alone. You know, I'm 7 years old and I gotta fend for myself now. Because my where I put my authority had crumbled, you know? And I think a lot of people even feel that now in whatever financial stress or fear about the future of America, or, you know, whatever there is. You know, when things start to crumble, we look towards the spiritual life. So truth is a destructive force. Truth is a ripping away, right? The spiritual journey is a ripping away of things. And there is some quality of renunciation, right? And what is it that you're renouncing? What is renunciation? Somebody give me an example of something they've renounced.
Television.
Why?
Because it's crap. It's full of a lot of junk.
Because on some level, for you, you realize that it wasn't serving you. Like, you realize it was putting whatever negative things in your mind or something. Yeah. And what's, give me something else, something you've renounced.
Smoking.
Now, go ahead, what were you going to say?
I was going to say meat.
Meat, yeah. Now, somebody give me an example of something you resist.
Candy.
What'd you say?
Candy,
yeah, right. What else?
Money.
Oh, interesting. What else?
Resist renouncing.
No, so just give me an example of something you resist.
Oh, so you haven't renounced it, but you just resist.
Yeah. What else? I mean, I resist ice cream. What's the, all right, to use a word of the week, what's the, oh, we haven't used it. Didn't we do Myeongak?
Yeah.
What's the Myeongak there? What's, if I say I resist ice cream, what's a Myeongak?
You love it.
Yeah, that I eat it, right? I mean, the implied statement in that is that I eat it. Now, what if I say I renounced ice cream? Right? It's an implication that I don't eat that anymore. So I want us to try to think for a moment that renunciation is the fuel that moves us through our spiritual life. Because when hell comes, right, it's not going to be curiosity, it's not going to be compassion, it's not going to be your social structure, you know, it's not going to be New Age music. Nothing's going to fuel you through that, except for renunciation. Do you see what I mean? And they say, right, in Hindu and Buddhist scriptures, especially Tibetan Buddhist, renunciation married with compassion. The marriage of those two is this ultimate fuel. And it is a kind of renunciation has a level of compassion. And compassion has a level of renunciation. The way I think about this is I remember seeing Schindler's List. You guys remember that movie? Intense, difficult movie, right? Or think about some movie that really opened your heart. We just watched the old Disney movie, Never Cry Wolf, Farley Moa. Beautiful movie. But you know, when you see something intense in a film about deep levels of suffering, you walk out of there. When I walked out of Schindler's List, I'm like, I'm going to change my life. You know, I'm going to stop wasting time. It was that feeling. I'm going to start trying to figure out how I can take care of people. Like there was something you said, right? Is that there in the film, I resonated with something. I resonated with a greatness, a human greatness that I'm a part of, that family. You know, we all have, our hearts belong to a family of greatness. And when we see greatness in the world, something resonates in us, and a natural level of renunciation happens. A natural, gentle, compassionate renunciation happens, meaning we just simply lose interest in things that are not helping us. And if you're anything like me, your life is saturated in things that aren't helping you. Right? Saturated in things that aren't helping you, which means that it's not helping others either. And so again, the spiritual life, the spiritual journey is not a career or a success story. It is a series of humiliations of the false self that becomes more and more profound. A series of humiliations of the false self. So one way to start to access that is to start to open the heart. Because when you put your nobody back on, it's just a way of blocking you from entering the spiritual life. Because there's something in you that knows the spiritual life is painful. Right? And you're like, not today. You know, that's it. I'm going to really start meditating when I have some time to do that. You know, I'm going to really start to help others as soon as I get all of my needs met, right? It's the old koan that however big the suitcase is, that's how much you'll bring on the trip. You know what I mean? Like, however, it's never going to be like, you know, you're never going to have more time to devote to the spiritual life. Yeah.
Why is it painful?
I have no idea, but let me know if you figure it out. I think it's painful because it's a rip, you know, what Adi Shanti says is it's a ripping away of the false self. So I just wanted to give you just that to think about, that there's a fuel, right? And the fuel is some kind of renunciation. And the spiritual life, again, is an invitation to join a family of great-heartedness. To join a family of great-heartedness, which we already resonate with. On some level, the only reason we're in this room is because we resonate with it. And just watch, if you can, try to watch when you put on your no-body and when you put on your yes-body. And see if you can spend a little more time in the day in your yes-body. You know? And just even take like 10 minutes and just watch the different bodies. In this meditation, I started to put on the no-body, you know? And I can feel it, like these things coming over the heart, because I'm trying to protect myself, right? But it's a deluded sense of protection. It's a deluded sense of protection. The only protection is love, right? The only protection is love, because any other protection is constant. I have to constantly watch my borders. With love, there's no watching the borders at all.